Jesus witnessed is a picture of meekness. Meekness has little to do with weakness. It has nothing to do with wimpiness. Meekness is best defined as power under control. Of course, the best example of meekness is Jesus. He was no comic book character, but he had the power that surpassed those of all of the superheroes combined. So let's look at some real-life situations where Jesus demonstrated meekness. The first that comes to my mind is in Luke 9. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. He had the power to do what James and John had suggested. He really did. But he had that fully under control. Another example is after the feeding of the 5,000. Look at John 6. It's in all four Gospels. But in John 6, we see that they wanted to make him king by force. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." They equated the prophet and the Messiah and the Christ sometimes as the same entity. So Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Okay, commanding 5,000 men, just as a beginning, would have led to a position of great power. He literally could have ruled the world with that as a start. But he kept his power under control and refused the temptation to use it to serve himself. Okay, finally, think about Jesus laying down his life for us. It was his choice. He had complete control over what he did with his life. Look at John 10. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Do you remember what went on at the trial of later on in John 19? Pilate is trying to let Jesus go. But the Jewish religious leaders don't want that. They want Pilate to use his authority, which the Jewish leaders didn't have, to crucify Jesus. And so here's what happened. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above." So Jesus could have stopped the whole thing at any time. And what kept him from doing that was meekness. He used his power to serve others. And the world is ours if we will use our power for the world. So let's read the Beatitudes together now, and we'll focus on the third one of these blessings, okay? All together. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we're focusing on the third blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Remember when Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Matthew 4 and told him, actually it was to the mountain, and told him that if he would bow down to him, he would give him rulership of the whole world. And Satan wanted Jesus to believe that having the power to rule armies, to make laws, to demand taxes from the world would have been a wonderful thing. Well, Peter later spoke again for Satan. Satan left him, it says in Matthew, for a more opportune time, before another opportune time after Jesus resisted his temptations. And this was one of those opportune times. Peter is speaking for Satan after Jesus tells him that he has to be crucified. Peter says, no, that cannot happen. And he was thinking that Jesus would rule the world as king over an earthly kingdom like those 5,000 wanted. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Now, just before that, he had said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So the more we want to keep what we have just to use for our own advantage, the less we are going to really have. Now, don't take him wrongly. Jesus isn't saying that selfish people don't ever get rich and powerful. We see it all the time. But what he is saying is that selfish people do gain power, but their power isn't real. Their riches aren't theirs. And everything will be taken from them. The truth is, the world belongs to those who are selfless, gentle, serving people. And the world is ours if we will be those kinds of people, if we will use our power for the world. A little further into Matthew 5 and continuing into chapter 6, Jesus gives some practical applications of meekness. In these verses, we can see some characteristics which are found in the meek and some which are not. We'll look at those first. Vengefulness is one that is not found in the meek. The meek don't seek revenge. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You don't think that takes control? Try it sometime. And not because you think you're probably going to get beat up anyway. But try it with someone you could easily take care of. Or whether with force or with words. You know, we can beat people up with our words. So it's when you know you could get revenge, but you decide not to for the sake of the other person that you've demonstrated meekness. And so this principle extends to other areas like possessions. Did we get there? And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, it doesn't matter what another person is like. They are more valuable than anything we might possess. If you really have control, we can show them that we believe in their value even when they're at their very worst, when they're trying to cheat you out of what is rightfully yours or just steal from you. This would apply to people. We can be possessive of our wives, our children, our friends, but also our time. We can refuse to share all of the things that we have, all of our resources, with others. That's not something that a meek person will do. Another thing about the meek is that they're not resentful. The meek actually do more than their fair share. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This might be sort of on the borderline, because they were sort of required to do that. You may be aware that a Roman soldier had the right to force any Roman subject to carry his pack 1 mile. Now, many of the Jews had measured out and marked 1 mile in every direction from their property, so that when they got there, they could throw that pack down, not go another foot. Well, what's your attitude toward the clock at work? That's where this comes to us. Or what is your attitude toward sharing, you know, this is more for the men, sharing the house, or for the women, maybe sharing the yard work. We demonstrate more control of our own life by volunteering than we do by doing only what we're obligated or forced to do. Colonel Lemus, who's not with us this morning, says that soldiers who don't volunteer are voluntold what they will do. In other words, you know, we need 5 volunteers. You, and you. You're chosen. Don't you know, though, that those who actually do volunteer will rise in the ranks much more quickly? The meek do not resent sharing the load or sometimes carrying the load. So how about some things that we will see in the meek? Jesus, of course, reveals some of those as well. First of all, we see generosity. He says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. No one can force us to give money, or to any person, or to any cause. No one can force us to loan money to someone without interest and a promissory note and collateral. Jesus isn't talking to bankers. He's talking to individuals, to us, using our own money. Money is power. How have we got this power under control? Or does it control us? More than once, I've seen people in churches that decided that they didn't agree with something that was going on. Maybe they didn't like the preacher or something that the elders had decided to do, and they decided to withhold their contributions to try to get their way. But worse than that is when we have an opportunity to help someone on a personal basis, and that leads to another aspect of life where our meekness is tested. What do the meek look like in relationships? The meek love unconditionally. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, this one sheds an interesting light on this whole discussion. Prayer is powerful and effective, right? You have control over what you pray, right? So how many of us would even think of saying to someone in the middle of a fight, well, I'm not going to pray for you anymore? We wouldn't say that, because we know how wrong it is to try to use God, but we do it, don't we? We just don't say we're doing that. We just stop praying for them. But when we turn things over to God, we won't say to people, I'll love you if, or I'll love you as long as, or but I love you in spite of the way that you are or what you do. And this is control. This is perfect maturity. This is being like God. Well, why do the meek do this? Because this is what God does. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? They hated tax collectors more than anybody. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, the Greek word, we've looked at this before, is translated as perfect here as the word telos, which can mean perfect or without flaw, but it often means complete or mature. Now, some might have the idea that being meek is being childish. But what Jesus is calling us to is maturity. the opposite of childishness. Jesus showed his first followers, and they shared with us the true, complete picture of meekness in living color. Now, I said that meekness had little to do with weakness, but I couldn't say it has nothing to do with weakness. As we've seen, meekness has a lot to do with a certain kind of weakness. It's the kind of weakness Paul is talking about, the apostle, when he says, "To the weak, I became weak by his own choice. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." This is a weakness that is by choice. This weakness can only be found in the strongest people. It's really vulnerability, making yourself vulnerable to others, opening yourself to injury. And this is why meekness has come to be associated with quietness and gentleness. Now, these do accompany meekness, quietness and gentleness. It's just a misunderstanding to think that a person is weak because they're quiet and gentle, or because they were harmed, or they can be harmed. Okay, a meek person will be quiet when it comes to defending himself or herself or arguing their opinion, but they may not be quiet at all when it comes to defending others or telling others the good news. A meek person will be gentle in handling the feelings of others, but he or she may be very aggressive and determined and daring when tackling some difficult task. So, the world is ours if we will use our power for the world. But instant gratification is not a part of that promise. The fulfillment of this blessing will sometimes come almost instantaneously. But the promise is that we will inherit the earth. It is ours, like the estate of a rich only child. You know, his father's estate is his, but he doesn't yet actually get to control what goes on with that money, with that estate. So we may not like waiting to enjoy it all, but we should have confidence and know that it is ours. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so thankful that